By the way, I want to thank Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Peter comes on this program every week, gives us solid UFO information and reports. Spend some time at his website, ufocenter.com. Truly does a great job there, Peter. So thank you for everything you do as well. By the way, check my calendar. Not much going on for the rest of the year. Next year, though, it's going to be packed with all kinds of things. Simply go up there, of course, to the calendar that you'll find under hosts and track me. We're going all over the country. And also for our TV show, we'll be looking for you to participate as phone callers into what we're doing. So make sure you're part of that. And we'll have information for you on that really soon that we'll post on the website. Okay, back with you for Open Lines, and let us go right to the phones. We go to Renton, Washington. David's been holding for a while. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for holding in there.
All right, great. I had sort of an odd story. Right now I'm working in Renton, Washington. I'm a resident of Wilmington, North Carolina.
Okay.
And for many years, I lived on Market Street. The bottom line of the story is that the Catholic Church sold an old graveyard that I had sort of cut through since I was a child in elementary school back to my home, and they sold it to a developer. The developer was given permission to exhume the bodies and have them relocated with the family. They didn't move all the bodies. But the strange thing I saw, and I showed my wife this during construction, is that for some strange reason, they used the frames of just some of the caskets as sort of a concrete form as part of some of the foundation
of
the homes and the sidewalk. It blew me away, and I have not been able to find any reason why anyone would do anything like this at all.
Was he saving money?
I'm not a rich man, but I'll bet you a paycheck I can go back in some of these folks' backyard, and I can show you. We can take a shovel and dig up, and you'll find a grave where they didn't move the grave. Because I've been walking through there since I was in elementary school. And it's so strange how this whole thing has occurred over the years.
It's bizarre.
And I was wondering why it's just not exploded with paranormal activity. It's just something I haven't heard of in the local area. But I'd wondered, why would anyone use a casket frame in the construction process?
That's bizarre. I wonder if he was running out of money. Who knows what?
I have no clue at all. And I wondered sometimes, you had a previous guest host, and, well, he was from Asheville, North Carolina, I believe.
That's one of our guests, Joshua Warren.
I try to contact some of the paranormal folks around my town in Wilmington around Halloween, seeing if they want to come out and take a look.
Sure.
And like I say, just take a look. There has got to be something to this. I'm just wondering if anyone has an explanation or wants to. I've never heard of paranormal activity from any resident.
And you would think it would be everywhere. It should be everywhere if you disrupted that cemetery that way.
Yeah, even if the Catholic Church gave permission, still violating. And I saw bones being pulled up when they put in city water lines, just put in plastic bags and moved on. I just can't see that not being a violation somehow. Even if I were dead, I would be mad about it, I'm just saying. I'm just wondering if anyone has an explanation on it, a listener or anyone who would have any clue as to why this type of thing might occur had a similar occurrence.
I have never heard of caskets being used as part of a foundation of a house, ever. Now, if anybody's into construction and you have, check in with us if you would. David, thanks for the call. Let's go next to Tim in Jacksonville, Florida, first-time caller. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, appreciate it.
Sure thing.
I don't know. I was back on the Ouija board. I forget the lady's name.
Karen Dolman.
Karen, okay. You know, I appreciate a lot of what she said. You know, it was interesting. I've heard many stories before. But I guess my main question would be, you know, if she felt like that, you know, if she opened herself up to that, or she was just being a channel.
No, I think she's into this in a big, big way. I mean, she's almost like the Ouija board fan club.
Yeah, man. I mean, the historic stuff is cool. You know, the old ones and the stories are well-crafted. But, you know, then I would ask a second question that would be, you know, and I have a particular religious view, but, you know, our particular religions or religious people, right, seems like a lot of people that had negative experiences, you know, obviously had some type of belief in a higher, I don't know, it just food for thought.
Well, I've got to tell you, again, Ouija boards may look fun, and it may be great at a party, but I think somewhere along the line, you're going to open up a portal to hell. I really do. Let's go to Sherry in Kerrville, Texas. Hello, Sherry. What's on your mind?
Hi, George.
Hi.
I hate to bring up this shutdown, but...
Well, don't. It is what it is. Go ahead.
Well, I know, but you hear it. I mean, everybody's just like, you know, bombarded with it. But there was something interesting that came across my screen, and it was regarding the priests in the military.
Okay.
That they have been threatened with arrest if they celebrate their mass or even practice their faith on a military base during this federal shutdown.
What?
You haven't heard about that?
That's crazy. No.
Even a chaplain cannot do that. And I'm like, okay. So if Obamacare takes over our health care and we've got governmental health care, at what point does the government say when a priest or someone who wants to care for someone spiritually comes into a hospital? I mean, this is starting to get so unbelievably just bizarre.
Well, now, here's a story. Let me read this story, because you are very correct here. It says, Catholic priests in the military face arrest for celebrating Mass. I got to read most of this on the air. This is bizarre. The U.S. military has furloughed as many as 50 Catholic chaplains due to the partial suspension of government services, banning them from celebrating weekend Mass. At least one chaplain was told that if he engaged in any ministry activity, he would be subjected to disciplinary action. The Archdiocese for the Military Services says that the military installations impacted are served by non-active duty priests who are hired as government contractors. As a result of the shortage of active duty Catholic chaplains, the government hires and contracts with priests. I didn't even know about that. Some military bases have forbidden the contract priests from volunteering to celebrate Mass without pay. They're told they cannot function because they are contracted and there is no funding. During the shutdown, it is illegal for them to minister on base, and they risk being arrested if they attempt to. I did not know that. That is as weird as that comes.
You know what? God does not shut down.
They shouldn't.
God does not shut down. I mean, what?
How many screwy things do they come up with?
Well, we start getting government into our health plans, and people that are during the end of their life and they want their last rites and all that. At what point do they start interfering with those of the faith being in our health care? Are they going to tell them that they can't come and administer last rites?
This is just getting too crazy, isn't it?
I mean, it's just our privacy. California, they're starting to do a voter's registration with the Obamacare. You know, like you couldn't even vote for somebody unless you're in the health care.
I know. The whole thing's...
So anyway.
All right, Sherry.
Just a thought.
Thanks for bringing that to our attention. Did not know that. Catholic priests face arrest for celebrating Mass. What about Protestants? Ministers? Do they too? Didn't say. Let's go to Andrew, Roanoke, Virginia. Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. Yes, this is Andrew.
Hello there, sir.
Yeah, I've been trying to get in touch with Christian Wild for some 4 or 5 months now through your program.
Okay.
And the strangest thing happened.
What's going on?
The last time that I called, the next day, a woman named Terry, I don't necessarily want to give her last name because I don't know if she wants it out there.
Okay.
Personal friend of his dialed, I believe she's personal, she gave me his home phone number and cell number. Let me back up. She dialed his phone number in my house.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. What do you need him for? Something going on with you?
Well, I need a heart transplant.
Okay.
They turned me down on the basis that I look fine. So whenever I, you know, I called y'all before, you said you would pass along the information
right.
to him, and I have never heard from him. So
he sent me an email about a heart transplant person about 2 weeks ago. I take it wasn't you.
He said that he had gotten an email about someone, but it wasn't me. It was someone else.
It was another person.
That apparently turned down the service.
Well, you know what? We might have you confused for that other person.
Well, what happened was once she dialed his number and it rang my house, I told her, I was like, you know, call him and do what you got to do, and then, you know, I'll try and call him tomorrow. And I didn't really think I'd get through to him, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks. And then he called me that night. And he said, in fact, me, him, and Terry all said, we're not taking this as a coincidence.
Not at all. So is he or is he not helping you out right now?
Well, that's the thing. I spoke to him. He asked me some questions. And he said, let me get back to you. And I expected a week or two, maybe a month.
Oh, no, it takes some time. It takes some time because he's got to talk to a lot of
40 minutes, he called me back. He's like, I don't believe this. I just got 3 responses.
Wow.
And he mentioned L.A., which I'm on disability. Obviously, I don't have the money.
All right, that is you. He sent me the email about because it was L.A. and another city. There are 2 different cities.
Salt Lake City.
That's
it. And the one that he mentioned that was closest to me in New York, at Columbia University, Dr. Warren Sherman. He's the number one person in the world, as far as I know. Dealing with stem cell research and treatment.
Are you going to go through that?
I have a sister on Long Island, and so I could go up there. And so he's like, let me call you right back. And then he called him on his cell phone and told him, you know, about me. And he called me right back within like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think the doctor got back to him right away, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like right then.
So are you going to do this?
Absolutely.
When does this happen for you?
It's going to cost me a little bit more than I have to go, but I got to do it. I have a 6-year-old daughter. She's actually the ambassador child for the Marsha Dimes.
Yeah, that's right.
Roanoke chapter.
That is you. He told me about you.
Yeah, she was born at 26 weeks and under 1.5 pounds.
Andrew, let me ask you 2 questions. One, without the heart, how long do you think you have?
Without the heart?
Yeah.
I don't know. I barely sleep anymore because I don't want to miss anything. Sometimes I sit there and I watch my daughter sleep at night.
I mean,
so
the sooner the better, I assume, right?
Well, I would prefer the stem cell treatments, and I would also prefer they work.
So you're going to do that first, stem cells?
I would like to try that first because doing the transplant, I would have to be away for 3 months.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Again, with me being on disability, it's a little bit of a hardship, but I'll do anything just to stick around and try and, you know, help her off to a good start in life. And so far, so good. I mean, she's doing real good. A lot of the problems associated with prematurity is you know, not really there for her. She wasn't born with a cleft palate or a Down syndrome or respiratory problems or GI problems. I mean, and at 26 weeks, and under 1 pound, well, 1 pound, 7.8 ounces, as I said. And to have nothing wrong with her makes her more like a 0.5%.
Absolutely. Well, you do the stem cells, and let's see what happens.
Stay
in touch with us.
Dr. Warren, I spoke with him. He asked me to get my cardiologist here to send him all my paperwork and everything from UVA who turned me down. And
well, because if I remember, your cardiologist told you there's nothing we can do. Right?
So it was my cardiologist said I needed a heart transplant. they referred me to UVA, and UVA, after a year and a half of doing the same tests and getting the same results that my cardiologist did, tell me, well, we're not putting you on the list because you look fine.
Oh.
So, I mean, I cut my own grass. I mean, where it used to take me like an hour, takes me like 2 days.
How old are you, Andrew?
44.
Oh,
I have heart disease, runs in my family. My dad had his first heart attack when he was 45.
And you've had heart attacks?
I had a heart attack when I went to the hospital. I had another one 4 days later while I was still in the hospital. I have a defibrillator and a pacemaker implanted. And really, I mean, I don't look like I need one. I'm not your typical, you know, heart patient.
When you had your first heart attack.
I suppose, but that shouldn't be a criteria for transplant.
When you had your first heart attack.
They didn't even bother to test my blood to see what blood type I have.
When you had your first heart attack, what did it feel like?
I didn't know what was going on. I mean, the doctor asked me, he's like, well, why didn't you come in sooner? All mad at me, like, you know, and I was like, I never had a heart attack.
You didn't have any pain or anything like that?
Well, I had a lot of pain in my chest, but I've never even had heartburn, so I just thought it was heartburn. And you know how in TV is not like real life. They grab their left arm and they hit the ground.
And they pass over and stuff. Okay, well, I want to make sure we still have your phone number, so Tom will grab that. And definitely follow up on the stem cells. I mean, we have had several coast-to-coast listeners go through these stem cell programs based on Christian Wild, and the results have been absolutely remarkable. I mean, remarkable. Next up, we go to Whittier, California. Kevin's with us on coast-to-coast. Hi, Kev.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I've been listening to you about the last 4 years since I started night jobs, and your program really has opened my eyes to especially political things in the world.
Perfect.
And it's really got me questioning a lot of things, so I do appreciate what you guys do. Also, you got me drinking a lot of alkaline water now, too.
Perfect.
But anyways, the reason I'm calling, I think you already just mentioned his name a few calls ago, the guy who does the program, the Haunted Collector.
The Haunted Collector guy.
What's his name?
Gosh, I can't remember right now.
But anyways, he was on your program a few months ago, and of all the sci-fi programs that deal with the ghost hunting, his program seems to be the most believable to me.
You're talking about John Zaffis.
Oh, okay. His program seems to be the most believable to me. It always, when he closes out the program, I always feel like I learned something or felt good about the ending.
Yeah, well, he's always been a great guest on the program. Yeah,
but the only thing I understand about when he does take the haunted item out of the location, isn't that item still haunted, and is he just moving the haunting to another location?
Oh, I think so. I think the object stays haunted no matter where you take it.
But he puts it in a museum. Isn't he putting like a ton of hauntings all together?
Yeah, he's got his own museum with all this stuff in it.
Does it cause havoc in all these hauntings?
I think so. Sometimes it does.
Okay, that's kind of clears up for me a little bit.
Sure. You know, when I was on The View, Whoopi wanted to know about haunted objects and stuff, and we talked about Robert the Haunted Doll, that creepy little doll that's down there in a museum in Florida. He really is. Google him if you want. Robert the Haunted Doll. We're going to come back, more open lines. We're going to take a text message from you. That text phone just does not stop. And also, don't forget, this coming Tuesday for you Coast Insiders, we will have our special chat at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So make sure you're part of that. We're going to come back with final open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Well, what's a Friday night into Saturday morning without our traditional shout-out thanking all of you for supporting Coast to Coast AM on our more than 570 radio stations across North America. Thank you so much. Coast Insiders, thank you, of course. XM Talk, Channel 246. And then the various chat rooms that are out there, the great folks into Infinity, Fantastic Forum 2, great people there, Imaginative Worlds, Sorcery, IRC, and those who follow us, of course, on Facebook and Twitter, and you can do the same. Just go to the far right-hand corner and just like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. By the way, Kane Hodder
will be our guest the day before Halloween with his new book. And, you know, he's the one who played Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th. And then our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for listening to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're going to go right back to the calls. I think I want to work on a show. I'll have the producers start working on it. One show on old-time radio, which would include special clips and all those special things that we've done, maybe the top 10 DJs of all times. I might have you work on that for me, too. Maybe send me some ideas in the cities that you've lived in, who was the top DJ of that place. But that might be fun. You would not believe the great old-time radio shows that we had in this country a long time ago. I mean, people, this is before television. People would gather in their living rooms. And those of you who are younger, those of you who were born after we landed on the moon, you know, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about here, but these radio shows just captured the imagination of everybody who was watching. And some of them, you know, they ended up being big television stars like the Jack Bennies and Arthur Godfreys and people like that. But it was amazing the kind of shows that they would have. They would have sound effects in the background, right? If somebody was talking about a horse galloping, you'd hear stuff like that. That sounded like a clock, not a horse. But, I mean, all kinds of things. So I might do that. I may have Tom and Lisa work on getting these clips, and I'll do the intros for them and stuff, and we'll listen to this old stuff. Tom has always wanted us to do a recreation of Scrooge at Christmas with Coast to Coast people. And who would be Scrooge? Not me. Not me by any means. Anyways, let's go to the phones. We go to, who's up next? Nan in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Nan, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yay, I made it.
Yes, you did.
Just one quick thought on what you were just discussing, your old radio idea. Do you remember Ken Nordine and Word Jazz?
Yes, a classic.
Oh, my God, he was brilliant. I used to listen to him when I was young, much younger, in the early 70s, and I
was
thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, they came up with so many great little things.
And Bob, you know, how about is it Bob and Ray?
Bob and Ray.
Oh yeah,
Shannon in Los Angeles.
But I'm not thinking of DJs. But I guess I'm just thinking of.
I'm thinking about all the shows.
Yeah. When you said old clips of
Cousin Brucey,
got my mind in going
New York.
In that direction. Too.
Classic people.
I mean, that's fun to remember and think about. I have so lost my focus, George, listening to all these calls and the different subjects and stories. I love it. I love open lines, but I feel a little almost loopy at this point. Now, why did I call again?
Yeah, that's right. You've been on hold for an hour and you now forgot why you called.
No, actually, I haven't. Okay. I just have to sort of get my brain back on the right track here. I tried really hard to call on Wednesday. And I couldn't get through, and I haven't. I don't try to get through very often. I mean, I really have to have a strong reaction, or you know.
Well, and when you're on hold, are you like, you know, you got the phone up to your ear? Are you like listening to the whole thing during that 50 minutes you were on hold, or are you walking around? What are you doing?
Just sitting here freezing.
Waiting, and you've got your radio on, right? Or have you turned that off?
No, it's sitting next to me, but it's because of the delay and because of what the local commercials are different, it would be weird to have the phone on one ear and the radio on the other. They don't match.
See, because what you and I are talking about right now, because you're hearing me through the phone, they won't hear it for God, who knows how long. Into the future.
It's part of why my brain is kind of scrambled right now.
Anyway, what's on your mind?
Well, I was trying to get through on Wednesday and couldn't. And I'm telling you, by the end of Lisette, was that her name?
Oh, yes. Lisette Larkin.
Oh, by the end of her segment, I was so frustrated. It took me an hour to calm down.
Wouldn't answer me, right?
I'm sorry?
Because she wouldn't answer me.
Oh, my God. It's even worse than that. I have a few specifics. I was so happy when your first caller tonight you know, brought that, said that she, yeah, that was great because I didn't hear anyone on Wednesday, you know.
No, I got a lot of
her whole program.
I got a lot of great emails about her, but you know, some people were frustrated.
Oh my God. I have to be the queen of all the frustrated people.
What did she do to frustrate you the most?
Well, it started off pretty quickly. And I loved that you were trying in your very polite and gentlemanly way,
yes,
to press her on the alien, you know, okay, well, you know, asking, trying to get some information about her so-called alien friend who was just, oh, he's just sitting in
a... Who's sitting there, right there. I mean, I kind of pictured him with a cigarette, just taking it easy.
It got creepy for me when she said, you know, he's only interested in how your audience is the responses of your audience. And I was so wishing at that point that you'd really pushed her on that, because I'm thinking, what the heck does that mean? I don't like the sound of that. It was kind of ominous almost, I thought. Do you remember that?
Yeah, she claims he's a good guy.
It didn't sound good to me. And then what I kept noticing, first of all, I was really put off by her, there, it was sort of a mix of arrogance and condescension.
I don't think she meant to do that.
Well, she's very defensive.
It came across
as... Every time someone asked a question, she turned it up back around onto them.
Yeah.
So it was beyond evasive. She has this... I think she's a fraud, George.
Ooh.
And what I kept flashing on, and I'll...
So you don't think the alien was sitting there, do you?
No, I don't. And what I kept thinking, I kept remembering back to the 80s, when New Age and New Age thought was becoming really big. And I have definitely seen and heard my share of fraudsters who were using that as a cover to con people, pretending to be gurus, some of the followers of...
A lot of them have done that.
People who insisted they were channeling some entity. Because she kept repeating herself, she kept making sort of vague and general statements, the same ones over and over, no specifics, just enough of a blank slate, really, just enough of a framework, I guess is what I mean, for people to sort of latch onto who might be looking for answers.
And did you know that...
It's just a plain unethical.
You were the 18th caller tonight, and do you know what you've won?
No.
Dinner with Lisette Larkins. I'm only kidding. Tommy's got a text message. What do you got, Tom?
Well, first of all, why wouldn't you play Scrooge?
Bah, humbug.
Oh, that's why.
Because I'm not that way. I mean, you know, you want this to be typecasted, so we'll pick somebody in management or something.
Like think that. All actors are like they act? No.
No, not at all. Hey, by the way, I was in Vegas last week to see Don Rickles and Robert Davi. And I got to tell you two things. Rickles was fantastic. And, I mean, he's old. He's 87 years old. But he's still Rickles. And it was great to see him do that, because the first time I've ever seen him live on stage.
Is he really funny?
He's funny. And Robert Davi, our buddy, the Frank Sinatra singer, the actor.
He's always great.
Was just superb. Just did a great job. Listens to us all the time. Robert, you were great. And did a good job. Very proud of you. So what do you got, Texas?
That sounds like fun. This is from Tiffany in El Paso, Texas.
All right.
She says, Ebenezer, what? I'm sorry.
No, she did not say Ebenezer.
Sorry. She said, George.
If I'm Ebenezer, you're Jason Marley.
Well, who?
Not Jason Marley. Jacob.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Jacob Marley.
Anyway, she says, George, why is it that every time someone makes me mad, I become a mean person? I am normally very nice. Do I actually shapeshift during these times?
How do I know?
What's your guess?
I don't know.
What do you think? She
come
wants
up
your
with
opinion.
A different text.
I didn't come up with anything. She texted.
Find another one for me. I can't talk about her state of mind.
You must have an opinion on shapeshifting.
Oh, shapeshifting. I've seen shapeshifters.
So
huge, right in front of me.
So if somebody who made you mad and then you became mad, would you be a shapeshifter?
Me? No. Have you ever seen me lose my temper?
Yes.
When?
I can't count.
Oh, baloney. Baloney.
Are you saying you never get mad at things?
Yeah, but I don't throw a tantrum. I don't shapeshift.
I didn't say that I've seen you throw a tantrum.
Find me another text later.
Okay.
Let me know when it's ready. Okay. Next up, let's go to Don in Birmingham, Alabama. Hey, Donald, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie.
Good morning.
We're doing well. And on an earlier note, even though I may not be, I'm pretty young, I'd be up for that old-time radio episode.
All right, good.
A lot of fun. Anyways, hate to sound like a broken record, but like a lot of your other callers tonight, I would have to say I have never touched a Ouija board, am not going to, and that is because when I was in fourth grade, I saw something that freaked me out that involved the thing, so...
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
What was it that you saw, though, that freaked you out?
Okay, interesting story about this. A couple of the people I went to school with, I was at a small parochial school at the time, actually brought the thing to school one day, and in one of our classes we had a substitute who was just like, teacher didn't leave you anything to do, So anyway, so they crack open this thing, and they're sitting there, playing around with it. And I don't really remember the conversation they were having, but I remember hearing something about died, and it was a guy in Norway they had supposedly contacted the spirit of.
Huh.
And at that, I look up, and I kid you not, that they say that, and I watch the door to the classroom. I see the knob turn, the door opens, and then shuts. Nobody came in the room or anything. Nobody was outside the hall. I had a good vantage point where I could see that. And then it was like, I couldn't see like a figure, but it was like this kind of vortex tornado looking thing that just kind of came through the room and went to one of the desks where one of the students playing with the Ouija board normally sat at. And I'm sitting there watching this desk. And textbook for this class, it just opens and the pages start just not furiously flipping, but just gently flipping as if someone's casually reading it. And then this pencil that was sitting next to it just starts spinning. And then
that would do it.
Shoots across the room at them, at the Ouija board, but fell short. They never noticed it. I think I was the only person in the room that noticed it.
I never told anyone about it. You were very, very wise, Donald, to stay away from those. Even though I will agree with Karen, it's just a piece of chalkboard. It's cardboard. It's whatever it is. It's material. But I think the belief system of the individual has a lot to do with it and could make a lot of things happen. We have next up Marjorie in Bloomington, Illinois. Hey, Marge, go ahead.
Okay, I got something for you to ponder over and your listeners.
All right.
If you get out your newspaper, and I've had other people do this, and we've asked everybody, and nobody has an answer to it. Now, this is not everyone, but a lot of them. If you read the obituaries, you will see that the person that passed away, they either die 3 months before their birthday or 3 months after their birthday. And we can't figure it out. None of us can.
Well, that gives them a six-month window there.
It always seems to fall within that area. So it's always like if the birthday is, say, June 2nd, they die within 3 months before or 3 months after.
And that seems to be with all of them?
The majority of them, yes.
Huh.
If you read the obituaries, you'll see that it's always 3 months before or 3 months after. You'll find maybe a few, maybe one or two of them in there. It won't follow true to form. But we were wondering if that could be the moment of conception or something of this nature. We can't figure it out. We've asked all kinds of people.
Well, what you're going to need to do is hone it down even more to see how close you can get. 3 months before, 3 months after, that's half of a year. That's a lot of time in between. If it were like 1 month before, 1 month after, or 1 week, then you might be on to something. Just like our dear friend, UFO Phil.
never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. The light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
And of course, UFO Phil is played by the fine actor Rick Still. Does a great job on that. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, George Knapp, John B. Walls, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.